guys, what is up? Welcome back to the Gals on the Go podcast. It is me, Brooke, here today solo. So before we get into this week's pod, I want to talk to you guys about what has been going on with Danielle. And just by the way, before we even start, I did write down some notes here. I just want to make sure that I articulate myself clearly. So really, without getting into detail, Danielle's character has definitely been questioned by many. And while I've had conversations with her behind the scenes, not bringing it to our public platform sooner was a miss. And I vow to do better moving forward. And right here, right now, I want to give you guys a formal apology for all of the harm that I may have caused as a bystander in all of this and by being silent, since we know that silence is compliance. So truly, you guys, from the bottom of my heart, I'm sorry. And moving forward, there will not be any sort of limitation on conversations on the Gals on the Go Instagram. And I personally want to thank you guys so much for holding me accountable and listening. And with all that being said, Danielle is going to be taking some time off and she will be back when she feels it's right. And I'm okay with that. And I really hope that you guys are too, because for the time being, I'm not leaving you guys hanging. You'll have me as your host, and I'm going to try my best to speak with many different types of people. So slide into my DMs if you guys have any recs on who you want to hear as a guest on the show. I'm really open to all suggestions, and it's definitely a bonus if they live in the New York City area and I could record with them. So slide into the DMs. Now we are introducing our Black-owned business of the week. The Instagram is at MJ Custom Tie-Dye. Her name is Maddie, aka MJ, and she writes, she did like a post on this Instagram. She writes, I stepped out on a leap of faith to start MJ Custom Tie-Dye. I am born and raised in Virginia, and I'm a proud VCU alum. I'm a young entrepreneur in my early 20s. Relatable. But MJ is seriously so awesome, you guys. I purchased two of the tie-dye face masks. They came super quick. I got the blue and the blush pink. I love them because they're double-lined, so I feel like really safe. You know, you can't like feel your breath through them and stuff. They're thick, they're reasonably priced, and just all of her tie-dye in general is super cute. So definitely go support her. Once again, it is at MJ Custom Tie-Dye if you guys want to go check it out, which you definitely should. And now we'll get into the highlights and lowlights.
Highlights and lowlights.
All right. So the low light for me, just on a really honestly sad note to begin, I wanted to talk about my dog. So you, many of you could know if you follow me on Instagram or YouTube or anything, I have a at home. I have a yellow lab. Her name is Cookie. We've had her since I was in middle school, and I haven't shared this yet on social media. I've just told personal friends and family. I just didn't feel like the need to bring it up on social media yet, but it's getting more and more real, I guess. A few months ago, like really around my birthday, amid the pandemic, we learned that my dog is sick. We just noticed some changes in her behavior. So we brought her in, got her tested, and they kind of told us like, there's really not much you can do. She's older. We got her when I was in middle school, so she's definitely an older dog, and she definitely has good days and bad days. And I feel like I left, you know, a month ago and she was doing okay. She started not being able to walk upstairs, like just any sort of stairs. She would always like run upstairs, run downstairs, like our whole house. And she stopped just attempting stairs because she fell down a few times, and then she just literally never did stairs anymore. So we installed a ramp for her. We have like a little bathroom area and she uses the ramp now. She's still walking okay, but I just noticed changes in her energy. And I mean, we're monitoring her to make sure that she's not like crying or in like visible pain or anything, but like the vet kind of told us, this is, you know, what happens when they get sick. I think it's a form of cancer. We're not really sure exactly what form. But it's extremely sad. I think the end of a dog's life, especially if they, pass in this way where it's like slowly they get just worse and worse and older. And it's really sad. She's been with us, like I said, since I was in middle school, and she's been a huge part of our life. So it's extremely sad, as is the end of any life. I personally dealt with the loss of a dog before. My childhood dog, Java, she passed away when I was in 10th or 11th grade. Similar story, just got sick over time. And then they took her in to the vet and they put her to sleep just so that she could pass peacefully. So it's just heartbreaking. And I'm not trying to trigger anybody or be whatever. And I know people have it worse. And I always see people, you know, on social media, like, it's just a dog. But like when it's part of your life so intensely. And I feel it one way, but I can only imagine, you know, how my parents feel, because I went off to college and for a lot of her life, I wasn't really around. But she still is such a huge part of my life. So I went home this past weekend, which we'll get into. But just seeing her energy and her kind of demeanor shift, even just a few weeks, I just feel like it's really, it's extremely sad. I'm really not looking forward to this end portion of her life. And I know that it's been really hard on my family. So, just sucks. It is, I mean, like, that's life, obviously. And I remember when my dog died the last time, I was like, I'm never going to get a dog because I can't deal with the end of it. Like, it was just so hard. And Cookie and Java, actually, their lives like overlapped a little bit. So we got Cookie when Java was like 9 or 10. So they had like a solid few years together. So then we just had Cookie, but my parents don't want to get any more dogs for a while. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm like saying it as if she's already passed, and she has not, but it's just, she's visibly ill and it's extremely sad. So that's, what I have to say on that. And I feel you guys, if any of you are dealing with, you know, a loss, it's extremely hard to deal with. So I guess we'll shift gears and talk a little bit more positive. I wanted to say that. So I went home this weekend for my brother's graduation. He graduated high school. A lot of people are wondering, why was the graduation of high school in August? Great question. In the north where I go to school, where I went to school, he went to the same high school that I went to on Long Island. Our graduation and our prom are scheduled for end of June, but due to COVID, and the pandemic, it got pushed back. We didn't really think it would happen at all, but it was nice. It was a really small ceremony. I personally could not go. I streamed it on YouTube. It was like a live stream. But my parents were able to go because they were able to get two tickets and then plus the graduate. So, and they socially distanced them. They sat in like clusters of three. So it was like the three per family, like in sections and masks, and really nice. It seemed like a beautiful ceremony. I mean, obviously I wasn't there, but I was able to watch it online. But I wanted to go home to take pictures with him and kind of celebrate with my family and everything. And it was nice. That was the first time I've gone home, since I moved to New York City. So my dad picked me up. He has been so helpful with helping me with stuff around the apartment. So he helped me with some stuff here. He drove into the city, and then we drove home, and I actually took the train back here, and it was really, a pretty pleasant experience. That was my first time like taking public transportation at all since this all began. I haven't been on any planes or anything, and I felt really safe. You wear your mask the whole time, and I just came home and showered, obviously, and just it was fine. And it's nice because it's just an hour, so super convenient. The train is an hour, I guess, like door to door it's probably like two, but you know what I mean. So I don't plan on going home a lot. This was kind of like an extenuating circumstance in terms of like, it was literally my brother's high school graduation. Like, I feel like that's something like notable. And I don't even know if I'll be able to like go back and see him before he goes off to college at the end of the month. I know everything's like so up in the air, but he is planning to go to college. So you can listen to our episode that we did, just me and my brother, if you want to get a better idea of who he is. But I'm super proud of him and can't wait to see everything that he achieves at school. So really, I just like took a weird breath. But it was really nice being home with my family this weekend. I have seen my parents a few times since they've come in, and like we've gotten lunch, or like I said, they've helped me with my apartment stuff. And this is the first time I've really been close to home, because in college I went to school in Georgia and then I moved to Boston. So my family is from Long Island. So I've never really been drivable, or I guess I could take a train, but it would be like a, you know, 4 or 5 hour train. It was never this close. So it's really nice that I just have the ability and I guess the privilege of being super close to home. So God forbid, you know, I need to go home for whatever it is. I love that. And I just feel great being here and overall just, you know, kind of creating this life for myself on my own in the city has been really nice and having that separation. So very, very thankful overall. But yeah, that's the highlight and low light. Now we'll talk about a favorite.
These are a few of my favorite things.
I have to give a shout out. If you guys didn't know, a few weeks ago now, I dyed my hair. I think I talked about on the show. I got a, oh my God, I always say it wrong. Bialage, but it's Bialage, whatever. I always pronounce it wrong. I got some pieces of my hair lightened, and I was nervous because I have very dark hair that they would appear to be brassy over time, and how I've been combating that. So if any of you guys are brunettes that dye your hair a little lighter or just really dye it at all, I guess this is made more for brunettes, but the line is called Finola, and it's like an Italian hair care line. But I use the blue shampoo, and I only use it like once or twice a week, not every wash, but it really keeps my hair from getting brassy. And I definitely have noticed a difference that after I use it, the pieces are less orangey tinted and more of like a cooler tone blonde, which I feel like is what most people look for. At least that's what I was looking for. So I love the results. Big, big fan. And you could just buy, it's like a really small bottle, but I guess I do put it all over my head. But like I said, I only use it a few times a week, and it's been a game changer for me. And that was a recommendation from you guys on Instagram. So thank you so much for that. And I think that's really it for all the life catch up. But we, like I said, we do have a guest on today. Super exciting. We have Aaron Idles in here today. So before we jump in, he's not only my friend, but he is the host of his new show, Queering the Air. He is a graduate of Tufts University, and he's truly like a hustler, you guys. He works full time for Jimmy Kimmel in LA, but he also creates such awesome video and photo content. He's like a photographer, just like does it all. We love it. So we're going to speak to Aaron today about his kind of life and everything in between, and enjoy. I'm so excited to have you on. So Aaron and I, if you guys don't know, I feel like I think in my head everybody knows like our little YouTube friend group, but like I guess not everybody knows, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like I'm kind of peripherally in the like YouTube group. Like I'm not, YouTube has kind of, it's like always been a part of my life, but it's never been anything that I've like done, if that
totally
makes sense. Like I don't know, I started ages ago as you did, and then when I was like starting to go to college, I was like, I'm gonna like not focus on this as much, like I want to really focus on college and stuff. But I was still going to like VidCon and Playlist and always
everything in between
in there. Yeah, so like
no, but I feel like we all started YouTube around the same age, because you were like, it was like early high school for you too, right?
Yeah, I was in eighth grade.
Same. Okay, so we started around the same time, because I remember it was That's So Aaron. That was your username, right?
First, it was actually X Eagle Aaron, LOL TBT.
And then wait, like American Eagle? Is
literally,
that
literally? It was inspired by American Eagle. but in 2011, I got suspended because I used to make YouTube video, like the music videos.
Same.
The copyrighted music. So I got suspended because I had 3 strikes from like using copyrighted music. So then I had to like remake my channel and stuff. And it was very traumatic for a poor 15-year-old. But here we are. We made it through.
And you started again.
Yeah.
That's what I remember. People used to have like backup channels. They'd be like, if in case I get 3 strikes or whatever. It wasn't even 3 strikes back then. They would just kick you off.
Yeah. It was very arbitrary. Like they were like, it was what they felt like.
Yeah, they're like, this kid's one too many, he's done. But we definitely all started around the same time. I feel like I met you maybe originally. I knew that we had mutual friends, like a lot of the like quote like beauty gurus, like more of like the makeup people and stuff. But I feel like through Kevin we became really good friends, right?
Yeah,
you and I Kevin feel like were
the I feel like the first time I remember like really like spending time with you and hitting it off with you was that first summer in LA when you and Kevin were together for a month.
it was so wild. It was so random of us. I remember the picture that we have of us at like this party that it was like at a warehouse.
Yes.
Like,
I just, oh my god, with like Paulina. So,
yes.
And like wasn't I feel like Molly Bailey.
Molly
was
there.
Okay.
Molly.
So crazy.
It was a crew. Honestly, so I went to LA, I guess, that summer 2016 for literally no reason. I feel like that's what YouTubers did back then. You were there for work, though. An internship, right?
I had an internship out there. That was the first summer that I interned out there.
That's cool. I think it's cool to, like, try new things and, like, go new places, because it taught me personally, like, I was like, I'm not crazy about LA. But I feel like it's cool to do that, to, like...
Yeah, I think it's important to definitely, like, spend a little bit of time in a place. But also, it's interesting because, like, part of me wishes that I had spent a summer in New York. Like, because I did 2 summer internships in LA. So I did summer 2016 and summer 2017. And part of me was like, maybe I should, like, try New York to see if I, like living there. Because I'm from upstate New York, but I've never, like, lived in New York City. And I know that I would have loved it. But I just ended up.
Come visit me anytime. And now you have a place to stay.
I absolutely will. Yeah, and whenever you want to come back to LA, I have plenty of space.
Oh, that's the difference, I feel like, between New York and LA, too. I even noticed it with Katie, because Katie just moved out to LA. And she was like, my room is the size of my old apartment. And it's, I mean, you pay, I feel like, around the same, but you get more space.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I've noticed, because a lot of people, I went to school in Boston, as you know. But I went to Tufts University right outside of Boston, and everybody, not everybody, I shouldn't say that, that's a big generalization, but like most of the people that go there, I feel like stay in New York and in Boston and like in the New England area. And so many of my friends stayed in New York City, and people would be paying at least what I'm paying, if not exponentially more, but be living in like a shoebox with no windows.
Yep.
And like my apartment is... I mean, I feel like my apartment should cost more than it does in LA, but we got really lucky. But in general.
I've felt that about LA too. I feel like it's because LA is larger too. Like it's so much more spread out. You could live in so many like little pockets. I mean, but I guess the traffic then too. There's pros and cons of every city, truly.
Yeah.
But
I feel like everyone in New York is always like, oh my God, I can't believe that you spend 45 minutes in the car to like go somewhere. And I'm like, hey, whenever I'm in New York, I spend 45 minutes on the train. Like there's always travel time to get anywhere.
You're right.
My experience. It's just
you're so right.
It's just, it just happens in cities, I guess. I don't know.
It's time spent in different ways, I feel like too. And just obviously you guys don't have a winter. Like there are a lot of pros actually.
Yeah. The weather has been amazing this year.
Yeah. Well, with the exception of the earthquakes, I guess. But you haven't been there for those last recent two little ones, I guess, right?
Yeah, no, I have been on the East Coast for a little bit back home. So I've just been reading about it and being like, crazy.
That is scary.
Yeah.
So I guess a little bit of like a backstory on you. So now we know like you did YouTube in high school and everything. But where did you grow up? What was it like? I'm always interested in people's high school to college transition, how they decided to go to that school and stuff, because I think that's like a lot relatable, I guess, to a lot of people, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember. I think it's so, I feel like that has become such a big part of YouTube too, is like figuring out, because going to college is such a huge decision and there's so many options.
Completely.
I don't know. Like, sorry. My brain's going in a lot of different directions. So
no, you're good.
I grew up in upstate New York in a tiny, tiny town called Cooperstown, which is like 3.5 hours north of the city. And it's super beautiful, but it is so small. There were 1,800 people here, and like my graduating class of high school was 65. And
wow,
it was just tiny. And that like people are like, oh, so like did you go to like a private school? And I'm like, no, I went to Cooperstown Central High School. Like there's no such thing as private school up here. It's very rural. So I graduated high school in 2014. And when I was initially looking at colleges, I kind of knew I wanted to go to Boston or like New York. I knew I wanted to go to a city because I was so tired of being in a tiny town and like growing up in a really small town. I was like, I need to get out of here. You know, I need more different types of people around me. Like I need to change, and I need to like growing up in a small town. Everyone knows everyone. So you can't really ever get away with anything. And by get away with anything, I mean, like, you can't do anything without everybody knowing what's going on in your life. So I was kind of like, I need a little, like, anonymity. Yeah, like, I remember, I think I was, like, I have this, like very strong memory
vivid
of
memory.
Being, yeah, vivid, of being, like, in second grade and, like, biking to school. And I, like, panicked at one point. And, like, instead of stopping and, like, waiting for the car to go, I biked out in front of a car. And, like, by the time I got home, my mom was like, so I heard you almost got hit on your way to school today.
Oh, my gosh, stop.
Oh, my goodness. Like, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, everyone knows everything.
They called your mom right away. They're like, I just saw Aaron riding his bicycle.
Literally. They're like, watch your son. He's out of control. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It's too much.
That's funny.
So I knew that I wanted to go to a city. So I was like, I was looking at Boston a bunch because I had family there, so I grew up going to Boston. And I also always loved New York City because it's just always exciting. I feel like it's just a beautiful city. And I looked at some schools in California, but both of my parents were like, please just stay somewhere like semi-local for college so that you know, you don't have to like fly home every time you want to come home from school.
Which is smart to consider, by the way, because that is something that I did not consider until I was at school. And I was like, oh, I'm going to surprise my parents and come home. Yeah. And I was like, oh, wait, I have to pay $300 for a flight right now. Like, yeah. So definitely consider that.
And, like, I was so ready by the time I was 18 to, like, get as far away as possible. And, like, you know, especially growing up in the YouTube world, LA was always, like, this this dream that everybody
Why was
wanted.
It? Everyone fantasized. They were like, I need to be at Earth Cafe and, like, there and just like it was not even like cool LA, like it was that like overdone culture of LA, you know what I mean, because LA is really cool, but I just feel like the parts of LA that were shown for some reason we were obsessed with, but
it was
wasn't
Instagram.
Like
I fully believe that it was because of like what everyone else was doing and putting on Instagram. We were like, that's the lifestyle that we need.
Actually though,
but I don't know, so my dad was like, he like I remember him sitting me down and being like, Aaron, like I'll make a deal with you. Try going to school. Because, like, I also was just kind of being difficult, and I loved a bunch of schools in Boston, but I was still like, but I want to consider California. And my dad was like, Aaron, if you go to school in New England your first year and you hate it, like, you can transfer to California. Like, it's completely fine. But, like, try it here. And I ended up going to school 4 hours away, and it was perfect because I was able to come home in a pinch if I needed to. I was always able to come home for, like, long weekends if I wanted to. I didn't really do it that much, but it was really nice to have that option. And 4 hours still is, I mean, honestly, I think you can go to college an hour away or 20 minutes away from your hometown. And if you don't want to go home, like there's never really like a need to leave
completely
school, I feel like.
I actually really agree with that. I used to think that like I needed to go so far for like the distance, and I was like, I don't even want, like, I want to create this new identity for myself. It's not about the distance though.
Yeah.
It's complete. Like you could have an amazing school experience and like live it up. And like, even if you want to live on campus or not or whatever, like you could totally reinvent yourself at a school. Like you, what you said, an hour away, 20 minutes away, it doesn't matter. So I agree with that.
Totally. And I mean, another prime example of that is Tufts is, I think, like 2.5 miles from Boston. It's it's kind of like next to Harvard. It's like slightly out of the city. And so when I decided to go there, I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to go to Boston all the time. Like it's so close. And I didn't go into, I went into Boston like maybe once every other month until I actually turned
21.
Like it was like I never, ever felt a need to leave campus because there was always so much going on there. There were always like parties and stuff my freshman and sophomore year, so it was always so fun that I just we would go in and have like dinner sometimes, but I don't know,
because there is the T-stop right there in the in what square is that?
Davis.
Yes, Davis. And it takes you, I actually love that area so much. Davis Square,
it's
so
cute.
Yeah, and there's actually like a fair amount of like bars and restaurants, I feel like. Is that where you guys would go out?
Yeah.
Where you do like house parties?
Yeah. I mean, Tufts was really big when I was younger with, we had Greek life on campus that was nothing like your Greek life experience, I'm sure. Like it was nothing like the Southern schools. It was, I mean, I was in a co-ed disaffiliated frat, meaning like we didn't have.
What does that mean? Wait. Let's break that down.
I have really, my brain's going all over the place with this.
No, but so that's, so it's, it doesn't matter, like guys and girls.
Yeah.
Disaffiliated, so it's not affiliated with the Greek life system. So it's just a club, basically?
So it was ATO, and then in 1974, they decided to disaffiliate from the national chapter, which means like, we weren't part of like the ATO brotherhood across the country, but it also means that we didn't have to do anything that they like told us to. Like you always had standard meetings and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And all these like rules that your sorority always had to follow. And we never had to do with, we never had to do any of that. Like we essentially were men, women, non-binary, like anybody could join. They tried really, really hard to be inclusive of like everybody, of course, regardless of, you know, gender, race, sexual identity, anything like that.
That's great. Wow.
Yeah. I personally think that it's a great model for like where I think Greek life should go. I think it would alleviate a lot of the problems because like we had women who were in charge. Like my senior year, we had like this incredible female president. And I mean, I think that it like promoted a pretty safe, comfortable environment for people for the most part. I mean, I still have some qualms with the Greek system that we don't really need to get into. That's a totally good a totally different conversation. But for the most part, the conversations that I had with people around campus were that everybody felt like safe coming into the house and like always had fun. And so it was interesting and a good experience, but it was basically just like a social drinking club.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I mean, I would argue, I have a lot to say about Greek life in general because it's done a lot of positive things for me. And I got to, it sounds like you were on leadership too. It gave me a lot of valuable experience. Like being on leadership taught me so much about being a leader. Like we had a chapter of hundreds and hundreds of girls and I had to get up in front of everybody and speak every week. Like that's, it taught me a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I agree that the Greek system definitely has its many problems. So not going to argue with them on that. That's actually really cool. I did not know that. I remember you were like, I'm an ATO, but we never like had an in-depth discussion of what your ATO is versus
what my frat experience was like. Yeah.
That's really cool. And definitely a good model. So besides that in college, you played a sport though. You were an athlete.
I was.
Did that impact like going
athlete.
To
yeah.
4 year? Did you just say?
Yeah,
I knew that.
That's just what I say now that I graduated because I'm like, yeah, I made it through all 4 years. Thank goodness.
That's impressive. Right? Like 3/4 of people don't as athletes or something.
It definitely gets harder as you get older. But it was when I was deciding on colleges, I was a swimmer and a diver in high school. And then when I was looking at colleges, I was looking at diving. I was getting recruited a couple places. And it was something that I wanted to continue to do, but it wasn't like a make or break deciding factor for me. Like I was like, I'm not going to go to a school just because of sports. Like I wanted to base it on social life, academia, stuff like that. And then I kind of used swimming and diving as like just a bonus category, I guess. Like I was like, if I get it, great. But then when I went on my recruiting trip to Tufts, it happened my senior fall. I just kind of hit it off with everybody. I like went and got to spend a weekend at Tufts and like see what the culture was like. I got to sleep over with someone on the team and just kind of meet everybody who was on the team. And I got to do that at a couple different schools. And when I was at Tufts, I just like, it just clicked. Like I was like, yeah, this is kind of where I feel like I need to be. It just felt right. And everyone was amazing. So that's how I ended up there.
That's great that you had that experience. I think that's really important too. I always encourage people, of course, like it's different for athletes because they get to do like the visit and everything.
Yeah.
But I always encourage people to tour and see your options. I know it's like weird times right now, but
Absolutely. It's
just in the long run, if you put in that time and effort, even if it's before you apply, you know what I mean? Just like I know friends that like used to do like road trips with their parents, like groups of friends and
Definitely.
See everything. And it made them happier in the long run, I think.
Also, a piece of advice, if you can swing this, if you can go to colleges to visit them, not during when the colleges are on break, like if you can go when people are actually at the school and like going through their normal day to day, it'll give you a better idea of like what the actual college will feel like when you're there versus like if you go and it's winter break and it's just an empty campus, it's so much harder to gauge like what the student body is going to be like what all of that. So
completely.
Yeah.
Good call on that actually. Cause I feel like a lot of those like accepted student days and stuff, they're on Saturdays usually. So there's no class. Mm-hmm. So the campus is dead and it's hard to, you're so right. It's hard to get a feel. It just feels empty. And it's like, no, when these areas are packed, they're packed. So
Definitely. And I mean, important. That's really what sold me was like getting to know everybody who was on the team is I was like, these are people that I want to surround myself with. So that was definitely the most like important deciding factor for me. Was actually getting to like spend time with the people who are there. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And so that's why also like, I think that that's part of the reason that like YouTube and probably TikTok and all this social media has become so important now in like deciding colleges for people is because I think it gives you a much better idea of like what your life might be like if you go there. But also to everyone listening to this, I want you to remember that YouTube is like an edited thing. Like it's.
Yep. Glorified version of what the school actually is.
Absolutely.
Like.
And like my experience at Tufts does not mean that someone else will have like an incredible time there, which was made very clear to me multiple times.
I would agree with that 100%. I think it's easy to watch videos or something of other people at schools and picture yourself there, but it's important to truly decide that on your own. It's nice that we have these resources in place now, like Day in My Life videos and stuff, so you could get a feel. And I think it is a better time to be going to college now because at least you have more resources. like Definitely. Online and everything. I can't imagine like when our parents went to school, like they went by like a pamphlet. Like literally. I was like, how did you know?
Like, oh my gosh. It's all just like through the grapevine, I bet. People would write letters to each other.
Pretty good. They would like, I can't even imagine like a world in which you have to, you know, all the communication, like when they went off to school, it was truly like goodbye. Like who knows when we'll see you again. Like it wasn't, it's so crazy.
It is crazy. Did you ever have people come up to you and like talk to you about your videos at school and like compare them to their experiences?
Oh, definitely. Well, I've gotten the messages, you know, like I came to Georgia, like because of you, like I'm out of state too or whatever, which is so crazy. And yeah, I mean, you never want to be responsible for someone else's experience because I always get nervous. I'm like, oh God, like I hope they have a good time because
you feel responsible. Like, you're like, oh my God, I'm the reason you came here. Like, like what if it's not good? And I had a few people come up to me and they were like, I came here because of your videos and my time here has not been great. And I was like,
Oh shoot.
I was like, oh no.
What are you, you're like, okay, I promise I'll be your friend.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I was like, well, do you want to like come to a party? Like, do you want to get lunch? Like we can get coffee. Like I was like, I don't know. I don't know. But
well, you're friendly. So I've definitely met a lot of people on campus and everything. That was, it was kind of like for me though, my YouTube and everything was really growing as I was leaving school. So I never had it like crazily. Which I'm very thankful for that timeline because I think it allowed me to like, it's tough now for these people who develop such a fame in high school and then go to college with it. Like it's
have like a quote unquote normal experience.
It alters your whole experience, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, even like when I, what I was saying earlier about how, like when I went to college, I kind of made the conscious decision of like putting YouTube on the back burner because it is so impossibly hard to balance everything when you're at school, like a social life and school and sports and making YouTube videos and like content. It's so hard.
It's impossible. That's why when people ask for tips on like balance and all that, I'm like, okay, well, make your list of priorities. Actually, because it's impossible. You simply can't. Like, it gets to a point where you'll just burn out and be exhausted, and like it's better to avoid that altogether.
Yeah, absolutely.
True. Yeah. I definitely got to that point. I feel like end of college, not even because I was like burnt out or whatever. Like I always kept my balances in check, but yeah, you get to a point where you do resent things. That's true. Yeah. I was like so over school at the end. I was like, I hate this, but
that's also kind of good. I think this is what I was telling myself at the end of college when I was like kind of ready to move on. I was like, thank goodness I'm finishing college and I'm not like, oh my God, I could stay here 3 more years. Like it's good when you're done and you feel like you're like, okay, I'm ready to close this chapter a little bit and like move on to something new. Like I'm excited for the next thing.
It is. I give people who want to like continue learning like forever and ever credit though, because
oh my God, I can't imagine
my brain.
yeah.
Reject me. Would be like, no, thanks. Wait, so what was your major in school? Technically, so, I guess like on the books, whatever.
I studied film and media studies and then minored in sociology. So film and media studies at Tufts was kind of a new major when I was there. They announced it, I think my freshman year.
Oh, and so you slipped right in.
Yeah, but initially I was like of the mindset where I was like, I don't want to take film classes. Like I already know a lot about YouTube. Like
I know fine films.
Like I was like, I'm fine. Like I was like, I want to learn something else. And like I kind of had the mindset of like, yeah, if I like it'll always be that like I can always kind of land on it. But I was like, maybe I want to learn something else and major in something else and kind of broaden my horizons. And then shortly afterwards, I was like, no, I want to major in what I'm passionate about, obviously. Like, I want to like going to my classes.
So. Yeah, that's great. And was it, so you enjoyed it? You would not recommend it because we don't want people to be like, Aaron told me to study this and I didn't like it. But I mean, you know what I mean?
If you go to Tufts, the biggest recommendation I'll give you is take the Alfred Hitchcock class with Lee Edelman.
Okay, there you have it.
It was the one of the best classes that I took throughout college. And I mean, all in all, I think the major, I mean, I'm curious how you feel about it, but I think the best, I think my dad told me this, but he was like, yeah, when you go to college, it's less about learning like specific material and more about like learning how to learn, because I feel like the skill set that I gained at college isn't necessarily influencing my life that much, but like everything that I learned there has like been able to be applied in later life, if that makes sense. Like I'm not,
yeah,
I'm not like watching film and like writing film theory anymore, but it still comes in handy. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's a skill set for sure.
I think those skill sets that you learn in college, like how to even be a better student, how to, and even just, I think the experience of like going off to college is something special too. Cause I learned like how to become myself. I feel like for so long, a lot of my identity, you know, was tied to like being home and like my family, which nothing wrong with that. And of course they influence your life, but becoming your own person is so incredibly and developing, not that I didn't have my own thoughts and like original ideas, of course I did when I was home, but I think being like having that space allows you to develop those even further.
Absolutely.
In a way,
and getting out of your own like community, I feel like it's the same thing kind of with like traveling abroad, studying abroad, and like you know, because when you're in your hometown, you're only exposed to so many things, like you're kind of in your own bubble, and then going to college, you're like, oh, this is like a new bubble and I'm learning about new things. And then like, you know, if you have, if you're fortunate enough to have the experience to study abroad, again, it's like, I don't know. It's, it, I feel like it's more just being able to see how big the world is. And like, you're like, oh, I'm just a really small part of it. And there's a lot more that I still have to learn. I don't know.
No, I completely agree. Yeah. You're saying everything that's accurate right now. And I, that's why I think it is so crucial, those years of like your life. And I know not everybody's path looks the same, so I never want to like shame anybody if they're like choosing not to go to college or like just not working instead or whatever it is, but I feel like it helps to move on from whatever it is, you know, even if it's high school or whatever it is, to like create that own identity for yourself.
Absolutely. And expose yourself to new ways of thinking and all of that. And
meeting new people, oh my gosh, like going to college and meeting new people changed my whole perception of myself even. So now I guess that transition from college to what you do now, kind of, well, I guess in college and everything, what did you see yourself for work doing? I know that's like such, I hated that question too when I was in school, like what do you see yourself doing? But like, you know what I mean, like end of senior year, the scramble, like what were what were your thoughts? I guess
I feel you. Well, I panicked too, because like at Tufts was so, the student body there was so on top of their game and so driven and stuff. And I feel like a lot of the people that I knew and were friends with were, you know, already had their offers at the beginning of senior year, where they were like, oh, I'm going into finance. Like, oh, I'm going to JP Morgan.
Yeah, investment banking.
Yeah. And I was just like, duh. I studied arts and crafts. Like, I don't know what I want to do.
Arts and crafts.
I don't know where I want to be, but... but I think it's just important to remind yourself that, like you were saying, like everybody's path is different and you just kind of have to have faith in the end that it's all going to work out. Also, I'm a big proponent of kind of taking a little bit of time, whether it be before college or after college, and like just doing what you want to do and not necessarily going straight
into work. I love
this. Cause I like
big fan of this message. Cause I jumped into work too. So I wish I took a minute to breathe rather than being like, I need a job. Sorry, it's done.
Like, well, I was like, I need a job, I need a job, I need a job. And then I think it was senior year spring break, I kind of had this like existential moment where I was sitting in one of my like digital marketing classes, and it was one of the easiest classes I'd ever taken because I had been doing YouTube for so long. So I was like, this is all second nature. Like I was like, ah, whatever. And I was just like immediately, I remember like a switch in my brain like flipping, and I was like, I want to travel after I graduate. And I had a friend who worked for this travel company in Europe, and I like remember messaging her in class because we were on our laptops and I was like bad and wasn't paying attention.
Oh, didn't come on, you're such a liar. If you have your laptop open and you're, I see people online shopping, I see people on Facebook.
And I mean, it was such an easy class.
Like, yeah, I became a Pinterest queen in college because I was like on Pinterest. I agree, it's tough sometimes with the lectures. Okay. Yeah. You get it.
But anyway. I like had this switch flip in my brain, and I was like, oh my gosh, like I want to travel for a bit. So I like messaged my friend and I was like, hey, did you like that company that you travel or that you worked with in Europe for? Mm-hmm. She was like, yeah, it was really fun. And I was like, okay, cool, I'm sold.
That's it. One,
like I was like, I'm in, like whatever. So I mean, I still kind of toiled back and forth with it of being like, oh my God, like, should I do this? And I remember throughout my entire like older adolescence, I guess, from the time I was like 17, I kind of knew that I was going to move to LA at least for a little bit and try my hand at the entertainment world.
Try my hand.
Thank you. But I just was like, yeah, like, why not? I've always wanted to go to LA. I've always been interested in photography, film, media, stuff like mm-hmm. that. And in senior year, I was in that mindset of like, I need to get there. I need to work. Oh my gosh. Even when I was like end of sophomore year, end of junior year, when I was interning out there, I was like, I can't wait to just move here. Like, I can't wait to just get my life started. And then on that spring break trip, I remember I met with my old boss for my internship and then like a good family friend who like was the executive producer of a show. And I was like, I need your advice. Like, I'm really curious what you think. Like, would it be bad if I like take a year and just like travel and like go kind of hang out for a bit?
Find myself.
Yeah. Find myself. No, I just was like, I realized also, I was like, once I enter into this, like, I'm not going to have time to like go travel for a month. Like, once I start mm-hmm. working, it's like, this is like the beginning of what I'm going to be doing for
which
a
is
long
honestly
time.
Accurate. I want to say that honestly, that statement is accurate. You don't like hear of people taking off 3 months from their job to travel. Like, yeah. you just don't.
You can't do that, especially you can't do that when you're 23 and like you're just entering like an entry level job. Like, once you enter an entry level job, I feel like you're grinding for like at least 3 to 5 years, and then like maybe you like have a switch between jobs where you're like, I'm gonna take 2 months and I'm gonna travel and I'm gonna do it. But I feel like I was like, I don't know, it's just like, this is gonna be, I don't know, I was like, I feel like I need to do this now.
Good for you. And yeah, so you recognize that and you caught it early. That was good for you. Not early, but I guess like with time to spare.
I caught it in time. Yeah. But like everyone, the few people that I asked in LA who I like kind of considered mentors were like, Aaron, like, LA is always going to be here. It is never going to change. Like, you should go and travel. And I am so thankful to them for telling me to do that, because it was an amazing year. So
you went abroad with a company and you were on staff essentially, but you traveled for free with them.
Yeah. So basically it was this job where I was like allowed to live for free and travel for free in exchange for my work. And then I got paid like a tiny bit. And it was a really cool experience. I learned a lot about myself, and I learned a lot about, I just learned a lot about like my self-worth and my self-value, because it was
great.
Yeah. It's an important thing that you have to learn.
It's so important.
It's yeah. So I think that was one of the most like pivotal things that I learned that year, of like how, I mean, it's a fine line between like confidence and cockiness, but you need to be able to look at yourself and be like, you are really good at this. Like, you have worked really hard for a long time. Like, don't let people take advantage of you for your skill set. Like, you deserve to be like treated well in exchange for like working hard. Like, that's such an important thing.
Bare minimum. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's like you should be paid for the work you're doing. You know, I don't know.
Exactly. So
it was a really good year. And then I came back from Europe. Pretty much immediately moved to LA. Like, so
it was a good year though. Would you recommend, just out of curiosity, like if someone's listening to this and they're like, I'm interested in a job like that, not necessarily your company, would you recommend a year like that, a job like that, like overall? Do you feel like it's worth it?
I think definitely a year of traveling, a year of like taking time to do what you want to do, whether it's traveling, whether it's like, you know, you've always wanted to go live in like New Orleans, like who cares? Like, do something random like that. Go cool. Find a bar, become a bartender, become a server. Like, literally do anything and take some time to just kind of do things that you want to do for a bit, I think, because it's important to do that when you're young too. I don't know, I think it just kind of gives it, like, also instills this mindset of like, you can kind of do anything that you set your mind to. There are always ways to do it. And like, I don't know, just jumping back to like living in New York and living in LA, there are a lot of barriers in that, but people always say to me, like, I can't believe that, like, you can, like, afford to live there. And I'm like, well, there are ways to kind of do anything if you are willing to finesse and to compromise and to, you know, to put the, like, set your mind to it and get it done. But I don't know. I would recommend it. The company I worked for, I would say, like, let's have a very candid conversation about it first, because okay. Because I don't regret working with them. I just wish that I knew more like what I was getting myself into, and that my friend had, instead of been like, yeah, it was great, be like, well, here are the pros, here are the cons,
can you tell me
everything.
The details?
Yeah. Like, I need the tea, sis.
Yeah, I feel like that's bold of you, but I get that. I'm impulsive like that too. Like, I would sign up for something if someone gave me like just a, if they're like, it was a fun time, I'd be like, all right, I'm sold. Like,
so it was definitely because it was like deep down I like really really wanted to, and I just wanted like the slight the slight validation being like, yes, it was fun. And I was like, even if she had said no, I feel like I probably would have been like, well, I want to do this. Like, I don't know.
I know what you mean. It's like the checking in with someone that you're just like, I just want to say that I'd like talk to so-and-so about it because I saw that you worked there. I love that. So then I guess transitioning to LA now, I guess it was probably like a crazy adjustment for you coming back. I didn't even think about that because you were away for a long time without coming home.
Yeah, I was gone. I was in Europe for 10 months. I came home for one weekend in November, which was kind of psychotic of me, but also I guess this also actually just like shows how strong my college bonds were. We have an alumni meet for the Tufts swimming and diving team every 3 years, and it was November of 2018, like right after I graduated, and I was just kind of like, wow, I really miss everybody and I want to go back, and I legitimately flew back from Rome to go to Tufts for a weekend.
You're a psycho.
Surprise all my friends. It was so fun.
Oh, that's fun though. It's so worth it for a good surprise. Oh, yeah. They're probably so surprised.
Everyone was shocked. And then I was also kind of like, oh, this is also, again, it's like validating it to myself. I was like, well, it'll be good networking and like I'll just meet some people. I don't know. But again, it was like I was going to do what I wanted to do. Like try to rationalize it to myself. But at the end of the day,
I completely feel that.
You're going to do what you want to do.
When you moved to LA, did you have the job lined up before or was that you waited till you got out there?
Yes. So, well, I shouldn't say I moved immediately to LA when I came back. I flew back to America mid-May. And then I was actually traveling around the States for like a month, kind of. I went to Austin, Texas with a group of my friends from college for like a little like reunion weekend. And then I went to Vegas for a friend's birthday. And then I was like, well, I'm already going to be in Vegas. So, like, I'm going to go to L.A. for a little bit. So I went to L.A. for, like, a week because it was, like, L.A. Pride. And I was like, I just miss everybody. So I went to L.A. for, like, a week in early July. And I met with actually the executive producer who I was, like, family friends with who had pushed me to take the Europe year. And she was like, yeah, you should do it. So I met with her and I was just kind of like, hey, like, I'm going to move to LA at the end of the summer. Like, if you hear of any jobs, like, I would just really appreciate it if you keep me in mind. Like, thank you so much. Like, I value you a lot. Like, you are, like, my LA mentor. And she was like, cool, yeah, I'll let you know if I hear of anything. Because, like, I feel like the entertainment industry is so word-of-mouth based. And, like, it all just happens, like, very, very quickly. So I went home to New York, and I was like gonna be home in upstate New York for the summer and just like bartending and making money. And then like 3 weeks later I got a call that was like, hey, so we have an opening, would you like this job? And I was like, and it was kind of the subtext of it was like, we don't have openings very often, like you might really so want to consider this.
So it's basically like, take this.
Yeah, it was like, you should probably take this job. And I was like, okay, noted. So then like a week later, I like got on a plane and flew to LA. And
wow. What a story.
It was cool. And so what ended up happening was I flew out to LA and I was there for 2 weeks so that I could like get my footing with work and then try to find an apartment because I wanted to like, if I could, I was like, I would at least like to like start looking for an apartment for a little bit before I drive out there. So I was in LA for 2 weeks and then I flew home and packed up my entire life and drove across the country with one of my best friends from home.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many days? That's like 4 days, right? Five?
Yeah. If you drive straight, it takes like 4 days, but we did it in a week. So.
Okay. So you took your time and.
Yeah. We went south and actually we went to, I stayed with one of my friends from high school in North Carolina because he was like working at Duke. And then I stayed with my best friend from college who was in Atlanta. And spent a night in Georgia. And then we drove from Atlanta to Austin, Texas, which was like 17 hours. And we drove straight, which was a little bit crazy of us. But it was really fun. And then spent like 2 days in Austin. And then pretty much just drove the rest of the way to LA. So.
Wow.
It was cool. I also recommend driving across the country at some point to everybody.
I've heard that that's a trip that you definitely should do.
Yeah.
Either if you go south or if you go like north and do like Montana, like those kind of places, I guess.
Yeah.
Was it Montana that's up there? The Dakotas.
Wyoming. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that they're beautiful. Yes. So
those are all on my list. I really want to do that like top loop at some point.
I'll go with you. I'm out. Let's do it. We need to get a car.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm so down.
I am too. That actually sounds really fun. So I guess your job now, we don't have to get like too into it, but people who want to do something like what you do in entertainment, would you give, besides you just obviously stress the importance of networking and like having people, having a mentor, I think is so incredibly important too.
Yes.
But besides that, do you have any other tips? I feel like there's a lot, like that's such a desirable industry to be in.
I think it's desirable. And I think that it is like, I feel like there are more barriers to entry than a lot of other industries. And I think that it's because so much of it is networking based. But I think what you're saying is really important. It's like you're saying, network, mentor if you can. And then I really think that it's just like reaching out to friends of friends and like having people connect you, because from my experience, a lot of people in the industry are like always very open to, you know, getting coffee or having a FaceTime and like chatting, especially when you're connecting through like a mutual person. And it's, think of it as like LinkedIn. It's like, if you have like that mutual connection, people are much more likely to like be open to talking to you versus like if you just approach someone on the street.
True.
Yeah. Like, even like at a party, like if you're at college or like if you're visiting LA and you're like, oh, we have this mutual friend, like immediately you just feel kind of like a closeness with that person and you have something to talk about that ties you together. And I feel like that, well, I guess that's just kind of like networking in general.
Yeah. Like, but it's definitely crucial. I feel like for an industry like what you're in, I think it's important for all industries, but I think some more than others. It's like what you said, more word of mouth based, more, I know a friend who would be a perfect candidate for this role, like stuff like that.
Yeah. And it is just kind of like having those conversations a lot and making sure that you're in people's minds, because like I was saying, like I went out to LA and I was very like, hey, like I'm moving out here, just like, please keep me in your thoughts. Like you, cause people want to help you too. Yeah. Like, but like people do want to help.
Please keep Aaron in your thoughts. It sounds like.
Yeah.
No, but actually I agree. But keep me like front of mind. I agree.
Exactly. And like no one will be able to help you unless you let them know that you're like looking. Like if you're looking for a job, you're more likely to pop up in someone's mind. And if when they hear something, they're like, oh, wait. So I don't think, again, it's like you're allowed to ask for things and you're allowed to, when you're respectful, it's like there's nothing wrong with saying like, hey, like I really want this. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. I always trust to people like LinkedIn, and like I mean, I get people who reach out to me that say like, hey, would you be comfortable making an introduction for me? And I always do that. Like, yeah. I think that's just like the circle of life in a way. Like you give to people, they give back to you eventually. Like it's, yeah. So I love doing stuff like that.
And also like never forget like the importance. I'm astounded every single day at our generation with like thank yous. It's such a simple thing, but like a thank you email goes a long way. A thank you note goes an even longer way. Like people will always remember that, and they will always like it's so important, especially in an industry like this where it is heavily based off of like networking. Like always be polite, always, you know, ask respectful questions, things like that. And always say thank you. It's huge. It's so huge. And I think it's kind of, unfortunately, a lost art nowadays.
I would definitely agree. The communication is a mess. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess those are the work tips, which I think is, you know, a lot of our listeners are like college age or like going into like, I guess that kind of post-grad phase. So I feel like that was definitely like really helpful and applicable to those people who are.
Yeah. Also, I would say age groups. I would say, be like, trust your gut and be creative with things like that, like with resumes and with cover letters and things like that, because you know a lot of industries get bombarded with things. And like I remember talking to one person at like a potential job, and I came back like a year later and they brought up my resume to me. They were like, that's the coolest resume I've ever seen. And I was
really
like, wow. Like I was like, yeah, I made it on Photoshop one year when I was really bored, like junior year of college. And they were like, yeah, like it was like, I still remember it. And I was like, yes, amazing.
That's awesome. He's the resume kid.
Yeah. Like. And I mean, it's not like they remember anything on it, but they were like, oh, like you were the one with like the really weird resume.
It still sticks out in their mind though. Yeah. I actually really like that tip too. I feel like that's so, for more creative industries, 1000%.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I, but also, like, you're going to get rejected at some point, because I remember I brought the same resume that this producer was like, I loved it. I brought it to a producer in New York, and he was like, this is the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
Okay. So you're never going to please everybody also, which is fine.
I agree with that. I go for the, like, you know, 50-50 mentality. I'm like, okay, if 50% of people are okay with it, then, like, I can stomach it.
But I was also like, if you think this is the ugliest resume you've ever seen, I probably don't want to work here. So this is for the best.
Like, true.
Yeah. I don't know. I was like, we can agree or disagree on this one. I respect your opinion. Like, it's fine.
That's good. Because I feel like you do have to stick up for yourself at the end of the day. Like, you can't just let people, like, walk all over you and be like, this is terrible. Like, you'd be like, okay. Like, what do you say back to that?
Yeah. And I was like, you have an incredible resume yourself. And, like, you are so entitled to your opinion. But I like my resume. Like, I don't know.
So. Good for you.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll talk a little bit about your podcast now. So exciting.
Sure. Yes.
Guys, we have a new podcaster alert. Like, he literally just jumped in. I remember I saw it on your Instagram. I was like, shut up. Like, I'm so excited. 2020. So talk about, like, why you started, how you started, et cetera.
So I have launched Gays on the Go. Just kidding.
Sub-brand of Gals.
Yes, yes. Definitely. We were very strongly inspired by you two, especially the fact that you can make podcast work, like, so many miles apart. We were like, this is so great. And, like, I love listening to you guys. I don't know. I definitely think that over the past, like, year, I have gotten more into podcasts too. Like, it's so, I like YouTube videos, but I like being able to, like, sit and listen. And, like, I feel like in podcasts, you can get so much more out of a conversation, and it gets a lot deeper, and it's a lot more personable and things like that. So, I don't know. We've been talking about starting one for, honestly, since, like, last summer. And it had just been a long time coming. You know, I've been super busy with work, and then I'm doing it with my best friend who is in law school. So he has also been very, very busy. But when quarantine started, we were kind of like, well, we don't really have any excuses anymore. Like, we really have the time to do it now. So, yeah, we just kind of, like, buckled down and got right into it. And I mean, we're early on. We launched, like, 2 weeks ago, and we're still kind of figuring out the kinks of it. I feel like it's kind of like an art you get into the more you do it, kind of like making YouTube videos. Like, that was what I kept trying to say to him. Like, I was like, the first YouTube videos I made were horrendous. Like, they were terrible.
And
it's a muscle you have to work in a way that, like, you get better at the more you do it. So,
especially the conversation element, like, it's totally tough just talking on your own. That's one thing that's challenging. But, like, even if it is your best friend, like, naturally in conversation, you talk over each other, or you're like, oh, I have something to say. Like, it's something to get into. I would agree. So you guys have been friends since college.
Yeah. So we were both divers at Tufts, actually.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we have been very tight for a long time, and it's just kind of been, because I threw around the idea of, again, like, doing one by myself, like you were saying, but I kind of looked at it as like, well, I think it'll be more fun if I do it with someone else. I think it'll give us more time to, like, you know, bounce conversations off of each other. Totally. Like, it's, you add another person into the mix, and it's like, I think it indefinitely just, like, makes it stronger. You know, better questions. Two minds are better than one. So.
Yeah, it's just more conversational. I think it could be tough just spewing out. Like, that's like a video. I feel like that's vlogging. So, like, for me, it's nice because I feel like it's a difference in the video content versus the podcast, if you will.
Definitely.
But okay, so now we have to talk about, like, the theme of the podcast, podcast name, et cetera. I need to know how this all came about. So the podcast is called Queering the Air.
Yes. It's called Queering the Air. And we wanted to make a podcast together for a long time, and what we ended up doing was, like, he came up with his ideal podcast and I came up with mine, and we kind of, like, melded them together. And he and I are both gay, hence Gays on the Go. No, I'm just kidding. But so the theme of it is Queering the Air, and it's just kind of each week we're trying to talk to different queer individuals who either we know, or, like, I'm assuming we'll get into later weeks where we, like, don't know individuals and we interview them. And we're just trying to kind of shed light and open up conversations more about different queer stories, because I think, again, like we were talking about earlier, it's really easy to get caught up in your own bubble. And I mean, I think that we're kind of entering an age now where we want to hear a lot more people's stories, and we're more cognizant now of like wanting to hear things different from ourselves, you know. And it's been like a long time passion project, I guess, kind of, because
yeah,
I mean, it's something that we're both passionate about, both being part of the queer community. But it's also something that I know I personally have been like wanting to broaden my knowledge on, because I think mm-hmm. it's easy to get caught up in your own friend group, your own bubble, like not people necessarily who are older of you or of like different everything. I don't know. So yeah, just trying to highlight different stories and tell everybody's story, because we kind of think
totally.
We think that every queer story deserves to be told, and traditionally the only ones that are being told are kind of homogenous and, you know, through the spotlight. It's people who, I don't know. Yeah.
I love what you're saying, and I love like that you have like such a clear message and trying to do that. Because I think it's also like your podcast is such a great resource. Like, I've only been listening for such a short time. Like you said, you just started. And I feel like I've already learned so much. And I feel like there aren't that many.
I'm glad.
Yeah. And it's just like a conversational resource to listen to learn.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cause I even said to Aaron, I was like, I feel so, you know, ignorant that I wasn't even someone that was clear on the way that the phrase queer was used. Yeah. And then like by listening to the podcast for, you know, one episode, I'm like, okay, like now I get it.
Yeah.
So I think it's great for stuff like that. Okay. I have to ask you about, so obviously now you're doing this podcast, obviously friends, family, everybody knows.
Yes.
Like, I would assume that you're out of like very out of the closet, like publicly now with the podcast.
Yes. I'm very, very gay, very openly gay now.
So what was the experience like, I guess, I know coming out, you talked about this on your show, how it's not like for you, it wasn't like a YouTube video or something like that. But I know I've had some friends in high school that came out to me, or I know that it's tough. And like, I grew up in a similar town similar to you, I think. And it's challenging with an upbringing like that. Not even, I don't know your specific like family situation, of course, but yeah. I could imagine. I know how I was treated just for doing YouTube, and I can't imagine, like they couldn't handle someone being different. So
yeah.
I can't imagine.
Definitely. I mean, my coming out story was like kind of interesting, and I feel like everybody's is interesting, I guess, right? But
they're all interesting. Yeah. Yes, of course.
And I think the biggest thing that I've learned is like there's no wrong way to do it. There's no right time. Like, it's so different for everybody, and coming mm-hmm. out is such like a personal thing, and it really has nothing to do with anyone around you, and more to do with like yourself. So I think that was another thing that also inspired this podcast, is I was like, what would have really helped me when I was younger? And like, what do you wish that everybody knew? Yeah. Cause like, we want to talk to older people too and be like, well, what advice do you have for younger generations? Because I feel like a lot of the queer community too was lost with the AIDS epidemic back in the 80s. There were like hundreds of thousands of people who died, and it was like essentially an entire generation who died out of like these incredible stories and these incredible people who would have helped shape the world, like these storytellers, these doctors, these lawyers, everybody. And, you know, we just kind of want to make sure that that doesn't necessarily happen again. I never really had an official coming out. I made, like, when I was in high school, I just kind of, like, avoided the question, I would say. Mm-hmm. But I also, like, didn't really think that I was fully gay in high school. I thought that I was bi. And I think that, again, that's like a natural step of coming to terms with yourself and figuring out what you do like and what you don't like. And then when I went to college, it wasn't even necessarily like a conversation that happened. I just kind of did whatever I wanted. And like, I think everyone was just kind of like, yeah, Aaron's always been gay. And then like, I would come home to home. Like, I would come home and people would be like,
yeah, like your hometown.
They'd be like, who knows? Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I just didn't address it when I came home. And mm-hmm. then when I was a junior in college, I made a video like kind of talking about it, but like kind of dancing around the subject, and more just talking about my thoughts on the notion of coming out, because like I hated the idea for a while, because I was like, I don't think that I should ever need to do that. Like, you know, like they say in Love, Simon, like
straight that you
people
owe everyone...
don't have to come out. Like, this is
true.
So stupid.
I actually completely agree with that. Like, you don't owe anybody. So I apologize for like phrasing the question this way, but I feel like that's society's typical notion of like, so did you announce to everyone like you're
no, it is,
but
it's
totally it shouldn't have to be that way.
But
I agree though.
I was of the mindset of like, I don't need to tell anyone. But then once I did finally tell people and I did finally start like saying like, I'm gay, like I felt a change. Like it feels like a weight like is off of your shoulders when you finally can like come to terms with it with yourself. And I feel like I even like felt a switch in how I, you know, operate as a human being and how I don't know, interact with people. I think that I did just become more comfortable with myself when I finally became stopped caring about the idea of like not letting anyone know. Like I was like, it's my thing. And it's like, it doesn't need to be just your thing. Like, I don't know.
Completely.
Yeah. So
no, I agree. And I feel like, I mean, I'm proud of you for doing it at your own pace. Good for you.
Thanks.
For like just owning your sexuality and stuff in college and doing whatever. Cause I think that,
I mean, there's
I
no
felt
way
like college.
I was not at a point where I was like gonna stay in the closet anymore. I was like, it's
like, I'm
dark
free.
And boring in there. Like I was like, I want to kiss boys. Like, so.
And I feel like college is the time to do all of that stuff, and like it's really without any sort of question. That's interesting what you said about kind of questioning your sexuality, like from high school to college, because I think, but I think it's just we're in a world now where it's obviously it's not perfect, but I think that it's improving so much. And I see so many girls. And guys, and I mean, I guess I see more on the girl side of people who are like maybe even backtracking now and being like, wait, maybe I am. Like, I just never thought about it enough. You know, I was just
absolutely
going with like what society tells me to do and what I felt like was, quote, right or normal.
Yeah.
Which I am so happy that we're in a world now where people are like more comfortable to do what they actually want to do.
I also do. It's interesting because I was of a similar mindset too, where I was like, oh, like I'll get to college and like everything will be great. But I still know some people too who, even though Tufts was like one of the gayest schools in the country and probably still is.
Is it really?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a running joke. Like, I mean, I feel like everyone there was just like very comfortable with their sexuality. And I don't know if it's like because it was gay, a lot of people went there who were like queer and like not straight. But yeah, there's a huge percentage of queer people at Tufts who are.
Do you identify as queer then or gay?
I mean, I say them interchangeably as well.
Okay.
For a long time, I liked the word queer more, but I think that's just because, like, I have such a negative idea of the term gay because it was, like, used as an insult my entire life while I was a kid. And I think that that's, like, but I mean, I think that that's just an example of, like, something I didn't really realize until I got older and the internalization of that, where I was, like, I think part of the reason that I had so much of a hard time like saying I'm gay is because for so long people were like, you're so fucking gay, like you faggot. So you from when you're younger that you're you might not even recognize that that's why you have an aversion to a term or an aversion to like something like that, and it's just like it's so deeply embedded in your memory. So
is that when people say like internalized homophobia, is it because of like slurs and stuff, I guess, or like when people
kind of,
or is that okay,
that's like one aspect of it. I think the term internalized homophobia is more like if I were gay and I was like really, really, it's kind of like when you hate gay people, I guess. I mean, my brain's going in a lot of different ways right now, and I hope I don't put my foot in my mouth for anybody listening to this. But it's kind of like when you internalize a hatred. And like most of the time it's because you can't really come to terms with parts of your own identity, I think.
Gotcha.
Is like,
gotcha. So you're like questioning it of your own. Yeah.
Yeah. And like when people are like really, really mean to you and like have this hatred of gay people, and it's because they have so many things going on inside of them that they haven't really had the time or the like means to work out and figure out about themselves yet. So instead of like dealing with them, some of the things going on within them, they're just like angry and like lash out about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I've been hearing that a lot recently. But yeah, I feel like that was like a really solid conversation about literally everything. It,
yeah,
it came totally full circle.
One other thing
I think so too.
That I wrote in my notes that I was like, oh, I should say this at the beginning, is I meant to tell you my pronouns too.
Oh, shoot. Okay. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Which is like, okay, so... it's again, it's just my pronouns are he, him. So, I mean, it's not, it's just something that I and Matt and that we're trying to do on our podcast is kind of like start with that and normalize it. Because we're just trying to be more cognizant of it going forward, you know, just because God.
No, I completely.
Yeah.
I'm all over that. I actually, this is like also another embarrassing thing that I'm like coming to terms with in the recent years that I've seen in the rise in the recent years of people putting she, her, he, him in their bio.
Yeah.
I guess just pronouns in general. And I never really caught on or understood why. I was like, yeah, like she's a she. But I understand now like what the significance, I guess, of. Including, yeah. I really love that you guys do that.
Yeah, because it's like, and especially like putting in your Instagram bio, it's all it does is it calls less attention to it when you see people, when you stumble across their pages, and it actually means something to them. Because it's like, if you were to go to someone's page and it's like only trans people had pronouns in their bio, then it's like,
totally.
It's just like, it makes it stand out more. So mm-hmm. It's like, if everybody just started normalizing doing it, putting it in your email or something, because it's like, it doesn't really. Yeah,
I've seen that too. Actually, in email signatures,
it's not something that affects me, but like to some people, it really, really, really means a lot to them. So I'm like, hey, if it's gonna make other people so much more comfortable, like, yeah, why, like, yeah,
no, you're so
right. It is
such an easy thing to do, and I guess that totally makes sense. Like we're,
yeah,
being part of the solution essentially, yeah. And normalizing it as it should be. So
I'm curious if that'll like even be a discussion in 10 years. Or if that'll just be like commonplace. I don't know. I'm curious. I think it will be.
You think it will be commonplace or a discussion?
I think it'll be I'm choosing to be hopeful that in 10 years.
No, I completely agree.
It'll just be not a big deal. It'll just be common.
The positive thing is that I feel like obviously not all, but a large majority of like our generation gets it. It's more like the yeah. people who are older and set in their ways. I feel like that those are the ones where it's a challenge to like reinstill new lessons in their head.
You'd think, but like again, unfortunately, something I'm realizing is like when we get caught up in these bubbles, it's kind of like we don't mm-hmm. see the other.
You're right. My favorite TikToks are the ones that they like come full circle. They're like, this was me 3 years ago, and then like it's yes. like now the transformation in the views or whatever it is.
Yes.
No, but I definitely agree with that. Actually, it is like a version of our reality. Like obviously, it's who you opt to follow, and if you don't follow people who have those beliefs.
Yeah.
Then you don't see it. So I would agree with that, actually.
And I'm not saying you should. You don't have to support them, but.
No. You know what I mean.
I know. I totally know. But I just, because I catch myself thinking that too, of like, well, how could anyone still do that?
You're like, it's gone. I don't see it. Yeah. And then it's like,
I wish it was that easy, honestly.
Same. Yeah. Okay. Well, Aaron, plug everything, where people could find you. Also, I need more YouTube content. So can you work on that, please?
Yes. I'm figuring out how to do that again. Just okay. I am Aaron Idelson on everything. My Instagram, Twitter, all that. AaronIdelson. If you search YouTube, that'll come up too. Or my username is That's So Aaron. My website is Aaron Idelson. I don't know. I just do... lots
I
of
love
media
it.
Stuff. My podcast is Queering the Air. We make new episodes every Tuesday. And I'll work on YouTube content for you. I want to get back into it. It's just like, especially the past 2 months, as I'm sure you have felt, have really scared me with the ferocity of the internet.
Completely. No, I completely agree. But I also, Aaron like lives the life in LA and like hangs out with all of like the YouTubers and stuff. So like, I feel like you have interesting content to make though. So like, that's why I'm like, I want it. Like,
I know.
I understand, though, it's difficult to, I did it, too. Like, when I was working, you know, it's tough, obviously. Like we said, balancing it all.
It's hard. It is hard. And it's weird. Like, I never experienced that much until I, like, I always, like, rolled my eyes when people were like, oh, like, your employer is going to look at your social media. Like, your employers are going to look at everything. But, like, your employers, the people in my office watch everything. They all watch my YouTube videos. Like a lot of them follow me on Instagram, and like they're very aware and very cognizant of everything that you put online. And it kind of freaked me out when I moved to LA. Like I was like, oh my gosh, like I need to be really careful about everything that I put online, which is important. And I will stress this to everyone listening, be cognizant of what you put online.
Like, okay. I needed to hear that too. Honestly, everyone is watching. I worked in Boston, obviously. I had like a freaking business office, and people still watch my videos. And I was like known as the YouTube girl. So like, if you have an online presence, even the small, whatever Instagram you post, unfortunately, people are going to talk about that. So, like, yeah, yeah. I agree.
Yeah. And even when they're not talking about it, like, they're still seeing it. They're still aware of it. Yeah. And one last final piece of advice is for everyone listening. Keep your work and your social stuff separate is a great piece of advice that I've learned over the past year. Like, don't go online and, like, talk about your job, whatever it may be.
Good info here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just, it's something that I've noticed in LA is, like, keeping business and pleasure separate is, it'll help you in the long run.
I love that.
It's a little cryptic, but...
No, we're ending it with a piece of advice. Okay, well, Aaron, thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
This was so much fun.
This was fun. It was so nice to
check out his podcast.
Again.
I know.
I haven't seen you in ages.
I know. Well, we'll make it a habit to chat more regularly because I feel like with social media, you like see people on social media, but
yeah, I feel like I know everything that's going on in your life. I just haven't really talked to you.
Same with you. I'm like, oh, he's on the East Coast. Like, yeah. I don't really know.
Totally.
Okay,
yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Happy Earth Month, you guys. I love that I can shop sustainably at Macy's. I actually really appreciate that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. So, you guys want to join in on the fun? You can join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. You can donate online or in store and learn more at macys.com/purpose. I think this is such a cool idea, like turning old schoolyards into green spaces. That's so exciting. I feel like more and more we're needing to go outside, so this is perfect, and I love Macy's for that.